1 John chapter 1, verse number 1. Word of the Lord says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life.
Amen.
For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. I'm really interested in all of these verses and others here in the first chapter of 1 John. But there is a phrase in verse number 3 when he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me this morning, on I declare a message. I declare a message. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. I declare a message. Now, the beloved Apostle John begins this first of his three New Testament epistles by telling us about Jesus. In fact, in verse number 2, he uses the term, declare we unto you. Verse 5, he says, this is the message we've heard of him and declare unto you. Reading these verses, I considered the old time folks around whom I was raised when something would be surprising or something would be exciting or remarkable or would shock them in some ways. They would pause and say the words, well, I declare. Matter of fact, if you're going to do it right, you have to do it with the Appalachian accent. Well, I declare. And they most of the time never would tell you what it was they declared, but they'd declare. Well, I declare. I declare. And my soul, I declare. And it just, that's sort of where the sentence would end. I declare. But that's not where the sentence ended with the Apostle John. He said, I've got something to tell, to declare, to make a declaration of. For most, when they said, well, I declare, this was just a manner of speech. But for the Apostle, it was serious stuff. He was able to declare a message. He had firsthand experience with God. Like John, I'm thankful to have something to declare this morning. I have a message to declare. I have something to tell. Brother Nick that's here this morning, the church where he pastors is in that film of Sheffy, Robert Sheffy. It's in that film. That is about Brother Sheffy's life. And Brother Sheffy in the film, it tells about how the first time he stood in the pulpit to try to preach the message of the word of the Lord. And then he takes off running scared, and they have to chase him down in the yard of the church and drag him back in there and make him preach because he's afraid of the word of the Lord that God's put in him. But the little woman he's staying with in a boarding house there, sweet Christian woman, is talking with him, and he's trying to tell her, I just don't think I can talk in front of people, and I can't say anything in front of people. And she tells him, said, son, maybe it is. You've never really had something you really wanted to tell them before. But when you have something to declare, when you have a message, when you have a word from the Lord, it's not too hard to declare. Whenever you can do like John and say that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, which we have handled, when you can say those things, you've got something to declare. He said, I know what I'm talking about. I've had a first-hand personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I have something to declare this morning. I declare a message. John's message was of four specific things. He said, I'm going to declare unto you this day what I have heard. Secondly, what I have seen. Thirdly, what we have looked upon. And fourthly, what our hands have handled. He begins with what I have heard. I declare the preaching of the gospel. Thank God that I have heard that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. I haven't heard it all. I didn't hear Isaiah preach it line upon line. I didn't hear Ezekiel declare it precept upon precept. I didn't hear John the Baptist tell it here a little and there a little. I didn't hear the prince of preachers as he stood on the mountainside and told us that no man can serve two masters. But I'm thankful that I have believed the report and that I do have a message to declare of the preaching of the gospel. And I'll get to it again here in just a moment, but I'm thankful I got a copy of the Word of God. I have a message to declare. I declare the preaching of the gospel this morning, what I have heard. The Bible said in Romans 10 and 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? But listen, you're not with excuse this morning, because you have heard. Hey, you do have a preacher. He's not much, but you got the one the Lord sent. He's a two before preacher, a country preacher. My friend, a very unworthy vessel to try to declare such a word, but the Lord did send you a preacher. Yeah. And the preacher might not be much, but the message sure is. Yeah. And my friend, I'm telling you, you've heard a word from God. Yeah. And when you hear the word and you've heard the gospel, praise God, you can say, how shall they preach except it be sin, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise God, I declare the preaching of the gospel, what I have heard. I'm glad I heard the old story about the Savior that came from glory. I'm a believer in the report. Who hath believed the report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I tell you who the arm of the Lord's revealed to, the ones that believe the report. If you'll not believe the report this morning, you'll not see the power of God revealed in your life. But if you'll believe the report, he'll show you his power. He'll show you the power of the gospel to save, to forgive, to change, to make new, and to give life and life more abundantly. I'm thankful for what I have heard. Praise God for every time the words, for God so loved, have graced my ears that I might hear that precious word. Thank God for every time I've heard, whosoever will. Thank God for every time that I have heard, make a joyful noise. For every time I've heard, the Lord is my shepherd. Thank God for every time that I've heard in the beginning. Praise God for every time that I've heard his precious word. Oh, thank God for the preacher. Thank God for the preaching. Thank God for the story that never grows old. How Jesus came and died to save my soul. And I thank the Lord. I declare the preaching of the gospel. It is the gospel of Christ, the eternal one, the promised of God. And he's come. He is come to man. It's that which was from the beginning. We're not talking about some Johnny come lately. We're not talking about some Billy Goat started running through town with a Bible tied around his neck. We're not talking about some fella that just dreamed up some new word, some new gospel, some new thing. That's what all the Gentiles chased after. The Greeks seek after wisdom. My friend, they gathered up on Aragopolis to hear or to tell some new thing. But we're not talking about some new thing. We're talking about that which was from the beginning. That Christ is the eternal one, and he's come to man. Hallelujah. You ought to tell somebody this week about Jesus, who came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I'm glad I've heard the old story. Praise God that never grows old. John chapter 1 verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And this is him. We found him. The one we've been looking for all along. Oh, you didn't know that's who he is looking for till you found him. Amen. You didn't even know that you was looking for God at all. Matter of fact, you thought you was running from God. How you search for him and you not what you searched for. You longed for him, but you didn't know what you longed for. But then you met Jesus and knew you'd search no more. He filled a longing in my heart. The Bible said no man seeks after the Lord, and he doesn't. He doesn't seek after the Lord. He seeks after something, but he doesn't know what it is he's a seeking for. But then when he meets the Lord, he realizes that's what he's been looking for all along and just didn't know about it. Amen. Praise God. Oh, listen to me, friend. Tell somebody about him. The gospel of Christ. Acts 2 and 36, preaching the word of God, Peter says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's the eternal one. He's the promised one. It's the gospel of the Christ, the Lord Jesus. Not only is it that, it's the gospel of the cross. It's the gospel of the cross, how Jesus came and died. You realize 1 Corinthians 1 and 17 said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, that the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Hey, you understand this whole world don't mind you preaching about some Jesus. Just not the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of the cross. They have denounced bloody religion. My friend, they have denounced that a slaughterhouse religion, that religion of the blood. But from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. Praise God for the old rugged cross. So despised by the world, but it has a wondrous attraction to me. For 'twas on that dear cross where Jesus bled and died to pardon and sanctify me. I declare the gospel of the cross, his suffering and the sadness of the cross, the sin of the cross, and they were my sins, friend, not his sins. I declare the Savior of the cross. I declare the story of the cross. I love to tell the story. Will be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Katie Hankey wrote that song back when she was a living, and it kept growing the longer she studied on it and added verses to the precious old story. We got 4 or 5 verses in that red hymnal. Some of the hymnals has got 7 or 8. There was originally over 100 stanzas when she passed away that she had added as time went by after that precious old story that she loved to tell. She'd gotten sick on a mission trip to Africa and was never able to go back again. And she always wanted to go back again and tell the old story. And she didn't get to go back to Africa and tell it. But here I am several hundred years later and I'm still telling her story. And it's my story and yours if you're saved. And that song said, I believe it's in the 5th and 6th stanza of the final word that she left when she left this world. Christ Jesus, pure and holy, without a spot or stain, by wicked hands was taken, was crucified and slain. And now the word is finished. The sinner's debt is paid. The cause on Christ the righteous, the sin of all was laid. Oh, bless his name. Oh, wonderful redemption. The price for sin was paid. Salvation is accomplished. My heart is unafraid. For God has raised Christ Jesus to show the work was done. His glorious resurrection declares the victory is won. Woo! Oh, bless the Lord. I have a story to tell, a message message to preach. It's the gospel of the Christ. It's the gospel of the cross. It's the gospel of the church. This is our gospel, the gospel of Christ. This is my story. This is my song. The words I declare are not my own. They are the words of him that sent me. Our gospel is a plain gospel, a powerful gospel. It's the people's gospel. Good news unto all people. It's a preaching gospel. Amen. I want to thank God who counted me faithful in putting me in the ministry. I didn't say that I'd prove my faithfulness and that the Lord rewarded my faithfulness, but that he counted me faithful. Oh, that's mercy from him. That's grace from the Lord. I want to live faithful, but he's gracious unto me in that he counted me faithful and having put me in the ministry. And I have something to declare. I have something to tell. I have a message to preach. I have a gospel that's in Jesus. Praise God for what I have heard.
Yes, yes, sir.
There are people this morning sitting in the pews that would to God the meeting would just get done and you'd go on about your way and do your own thing. But there are people across the world this morning that would give anything to hear what you're hearing today. Not because I'm anything of a preacher, but because this message is so important. I mean, every soul that's in hell today would give everything they've ever had, including the right arm, to get to hear one moment of what you're listening to on the Baptist pew here this morning. And here we are listening to the Word of God. I don't want to thank the Lord that I have a message to preach. Praise God. Well, I'd been fixed by the time if the Lord didn't give me a message, because he called me to preach and this is what I'm supposed to do. And if I didn't have a message, I'd be in a mess, wouldn't I? Amen. Oh, but praise God, he gave me a message. He gave me a word, that which I have heard. And this morning he's given you a message. This is the gospel of the church, and we are to declare it everywhere we go. I declare the message, praise God. I declare what I have heard. That is, I proclaim the message. I declare the preaching of the word of God, of the gospel. And then he said, not only what he has heard, but he said the other part of introducing Jesus is what I've heard. That is the declaration of the message, or of the preaching of the gospel. And then there is what I have seen. I declare the person of the gospel. My friend John not only heard the preaching of the gospel, he saw the person of the gospel. Amen. Praise God. His name is Jesus. Upon Mount Aragapolis, where they had gone to hear or to see or to tell some new thing, they had him an altar built to the unknown God. And Paul said, I perceive that you're far too superstitious. I said, I saw your altar built to the unknown God. Well, I want you to know something. I know who he is, and I'm going to declare him unto you. His name is Jesus. Praise God in the Lamb. Hey, I used to preach, and the brother Steve's already in heaven. I used to preach out of Union Hill, near Alabama, and brother Steve Harper, great Christian man. I loved him. He loved me, loved the gospel. And he'd direct that choir and get him glory. And while the preaching's going on, if he's praying for you, the way he prayed is he'd sit on that row over there, first row on that side, and he would say, Jesus. He'd be under his breath real quiet. You could hear sometimes a whisper, Jesus. And I'd get to preaching a little farther, he'd say, Jesus. And then if he got to preaching good, he didn't just pray for you saying, Jesus. If he got to preaching good, he'd help you saying, Jesus. And then if he got real good, he got into glory, he'd stand up, raise his hand, say, Jesus. Brother, I'm telling you, Jesus, the sweetest name I know. He's the person of the gospel. Oh, I didn't see him when he preached and worked the miracles. I wasn't there like John was when he multiplied the bread or calmed the sea. But I was there when he made himself known unto me. Praise God. Oh, I listened to it again this morning on the way here. You ought to have been there when he blessed my soul. You ought to have been there one glorious morning. He saved my soul and he made me whole. Ever since that day, I've been telling the story of the day he washed away my sins and he blessed my soul. Brother, I'm telling you, he made himself real to me. I declare the person of the gospel. I'm glad I know who see it. What I have seen, hallelujah, I declare the person of the gospel. He is the person of the light. In verses 5 through 6, them, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He's the person of the light. At John chapter 1 verse 6 in John's gospel says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I praise the Lord that I have seen the light. I can tell you a message about the person of the gospel, for I have seen the light. Hallelujah. Yes. He's the person of the light. I can preach about that. I can tell you about the person of the gospel because I know about the person of the life. That Jesus is the person of the life. End of verse number 1 said, and our hands have handled the word of life. After the life was manifested and we've seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. At John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And John said later in this book, he said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Praise God, I'm glad I know what living is. I know what it is to be alive. This whole world don't know what living is. They don't know what life is all about. They don't know what we know. We know what they know, but they don't know what we know. But we know where life is, and it is in him that we live and we move and we have our being. Praise God, Jesus is alive. I'm alive. I live because Jesus lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because he lives. There's hope for my children and grandchildren. I'm glad to see little Gracie and Ella come in this morning. And here she is. I know Ella looks like she's a year old, but she's just a few months old. She got here on a head start, weighed 9 pounds and 6 ounces. And all she's done is grow like a weed since then. She's going to rival Andre the Giant one of these days. I mean, she just keeps on growing and growing. And listen, this whole world looks mighty bleak for this little ones like that. I mean, it's a troubled world. It's a sinful world. It's a wicked world. But God hasn't changed. And the reason why I have hope for my children and for yours, for my grandchildren and for yours, is because Jesus lives. He's the person of the life. And I have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have an anchor, and it holds very sure, and it holds in the solid rock, and I have life in him. Amen. The person of the life. He's the person of the light. John says he's the person of liberty. Verses 8 and 9, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I can't spend too much time on that verse. But buddy, I'm telling you, you think you're the one that's without sin, you're lying to yourself. You think you're the one that's walking around with your halo standing up just right and never been bent sideways. Hey, you're lying to yourself. You're kidding yourself. If you think anybody else is doing that, you're lying to yourself. You're fooling yourself. Hey, you're in an awful shape, and I am too. I would stay that way if the Lord hadn't had mercy on us. And would still be that way now if his mercy didn't endure. You see, we need enduring mercy. And your problem and mine is we're still living in a house that's just as dirty as it was the day we got saved. This old house is. Folks talk about, oh, we ought to have a clean tabernacle. Well, we ought to live clean while we're in this tabernacle. But this tabernacle ain't clean. This tabernacle of flesh is at enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And this thing out here rebels against God. And you got to keep your body under subjection. Unless that you preach to others by any means and become a castaway. I'm telling you, friend, this thing's a mess. And all of us is living in a house of death. And if you think you have no sin, if you think you're the one that's the exception to the rule, how you lying to yourself, and the truth is not in you. Amen. I'm wicked and dirty and filthy and sinful. Had a lady one night on social media. I posted prayer requests after the church service and said we need to pray. There's a number of sinners in the service tonight needed to be saved. God was dealing with them. And we need to sincerely pray that the Lord would have mercy on them. I mean, I thought that was about gracious and what a person could be. And if somebody would, that I didn't even know, went off on me like a Roman candle. I'd just, who do you think you are calling those people sinners? Or she said, I suppose, Mr. Powers, by your definition, all the people you preach to in your pews on Sunday and Sunday night are all sinners. I said, yes, ma'am, it's a pretty rough bunch, and all of them sinners outside of the mercies and grace of the Lord. And we'd all be headed to hell and to spend eternity with the devil laughing at us, were it not that God had mercy on us and saved us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. She said, you ought not to ever even say the word sinner. I realize it upsets people, and I wouldn't want to do that. I've never hurt anybody's feelings before, and I wouldn't know how to react, but I just feel like I may need to say it. Sinner, 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 sinner. And so, you know, I'm not afraid how to say it this morning. I tell you, we need help from God because of our sin. We need forgiveness of our sin. We need help for our condition of sin. And my friend, we need forgiveness because we've committed sin. We need help from God because of our condition of sin. And my friend, we need deliverance from God because of the condemnation of sin. But praise God, there's one that'll set you liberty from, set you free from your sin, give you liberty from sin. Praise the Lamb of God. And if you confess your sin, verse number 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a person of liberty, one that knows how to break the chains of sin and set loose those in bondage and give you freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! And the folks that ain't never known what it was to be sinners, that don't mean much. But to all the rest of us, my friend, who realize how dirty and black we'd be without God, and how dirty and black our flesh is now, even while trying to live for God, we say, thank the Lord for giving us liberty and freedom and forgiving our sin. Praise God. That's what Jesus came for. He came to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous unto repentance. They need no repentance. Amen. Oh, but when you realize how big an ugly sinner you are, then you know how bad you need forgiveness. Amen. Oh, when you think you're doing real good, you don't need nothing. Matter of fact, everybody else is rotten. You think you're good, everybody else is rotten. That's the way it works. And the old devil lift up that pride, but it is of the devil. But when you realize how rotten you are, and you realize how much help you need from the Lord, you realize how ugly your sin is and everybody else's sin is, and how we all got to have help from the Lord. Brother, then you'll realize He's the only one can help you. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Makes me happy in Jesus. And you shall know the truth, said John 8:32, and the truth shall make you free. And John 8:36 said, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Luke 4, Jesus came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and his custom was, and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it's written. And he read these words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he got done, the Bible said he closed the book, and he looked around and he said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? And that is, you've heard it and seen it. That's what I'm here for, to find those in bondage and set them free. Praise God. When the dry clinic don't know what to do with your bottle, how about feeling when you don't know how to handle yet that pill or that needle, when lust has wrapped you up and my friend drove you slam out of your mind? Praise God, there's a delivering Savior that knows how to bring out and change your life. Hallelujah. I was listening to the preacher yesterday from back in the 80s. He's telling about a fellow joined the military. Young man got in trouble with alcohol in the military. He's wrapped up in it. He went to see the chaplain there in the military. He didn't have but two options, you know. You go to the Catholic or you go to the Protestant. And so he goes to the Protestant. Figures maybe he's got at least some kind of help for him. And that fellow told him, says, well, read this book right here. Said, I think it'll help you. Power of Positive Thinking. Fix all your problems. Said, that's all you need to do. He said, no, I'm telling you, this liquor's killing me. He said, I've watched it in my family. I've seen them vomit. I've seen them pass out. I've seen them all do crazy things. I said, I never would be involved in it, but I'm telling you, it's got its clutches in me. I mean, it's got its claws in me. I can't hardly seem to turn it loose. I can't get to victory. And he said, just need the power of positive thinking. And then he told him again, another time, he said, you just need to get out of the military. When you get out of here and out from around these influences, and then things will be different. But he went back home and it wasn't different. And it just wrapped up in it. But when he went back home, the young lady had been seeing before he got called off in the military and spent his 2 years. They had stayed in touch, writing letters and so forth. And he went back to see her and picked her up and he said, well, I got a big night planned. He said, we're going to go to this nightclub and that nightclub. And we're going to go here and we're going to do that. And she looked at him and said, no, we're not. I said, things have changed. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, about 2 weeks ago, she said, I got saved and the Lord lives in my heart. And said, I ain't going no more with you to the nightclubs and to the honky-tonks and the booze joints. And she said, they're having revival this week down at our church. And if you want to go somewhere with me tonight, we're going to revival. He said, I don't think I've ever been to revival. I don't even know what they do at revival. And she said, just come with me and see. And they went to the revival meeting, and the meeting got on. And folks is shouting and acting up, standing up, sitting down, and running around. And he didn't know what to think about any of it. He thought to himself, they don't act crazy as this down at the booze joint or the honky tonk. And he said, soon as I can get out of here, that's where I'm headed. He dropped her off at home after the revival meeting, headed out. And my friend got sod drunk. But a couple of days went by. He talked her into going with him again. I showed up at her house and he said, well, said, I got it picked out. We're going to go this way into this place and get some supper, and then we're going to go to the movies and see this movie. And she said, not tonight. As she said, they've extended the revival down at the church. He said, you're kidding me. I said, didn't we do that already? Hadn't we already been there and done that? You mean you're going back to church again? She said, that's where I'm going, and if you're going with me, that's where you're going. And he said, honey, I love you and I'll go anywhere you want to, but tonight's the last time I'm going to church with you. And he went to church with her that night, and it got on, folks getting saved, getting the victory, shouting the praise of God. And he ran out to the back door and sat in the car. And when she got up and she started shouting, that's when he ran out the door and sat in the car. He said, I have never seen you act that way, and I don't know what to think about it. He drove her all the way home, finally got to the house, I parked the car, and in front of her house. He said, now I'm not making fun. I'm not making fun at all, but I don't understand. He said, when I went in the military, we went out to the honky-tonks together. When I left here for service, we drank beer, liquor, and wine together. I come home and you're some sort of holy roller. I said, I never saw you act. I like what you acted tonight. He said, I don't understand it. He said, matter of fact, if it's real, you ought to do it again right here. She said, I'm not going to do it. It doesn't work that way. You don't understand. He said, no, I don't, but I want to. And she said, I can't pray for you. And she started praying in the seat of their car, got in the glory, and started acting that way again. He already had the car door half open, and he slipped on out the side of it, scared to death. About that time, come around the end of the car, she'd got out of her car door and met him back there at the trunk and said, don't you want some of what I found while you was gone? And he fell on his face at the curbside, and he said, I don't know if that's what I want or not, but I know I don't want what I got while I was gone. And he asked the Lord to have mercy on his soul and saved him. I birthed Christ in his life, gave him victory over the bottle. Is anybody listening to the preacher this morning? I'm telling you, I have something to declare about the person of the gospel. He'll set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I've heard, the proclamation of preaching the gospel. What I've seen, I declare the person of the gospel. The third thing he said is, what I have looked upon, I declare the proof of the gospel. What I've looked upon. This looked upon means to look closely. A prolonged examination, to view by an extended visit. John declared that he watched Jesus closely over time. He saw that the evidence. He examined the proof of the gospel, and he declared that he passed the examination. Praise God. I want to tell you, while he's here in this old world, the Father examined him and said he passed the examination. Isn't that right? When John baptized him in Matthew 3:16, and he came up out of the water, the heavens opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven came saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father examined him, looked on him, and said he passed the examination. His friends looked on him, and they said he passed the examination. Mark 7:37, and they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He passed the examination. Oh, my friend, those who were his foes, I said he passed the examination. And my friend Pilate therefore went again and saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth unto you, that ye may know I find no fault in him. He beat him and he brought him out, and he said again, I find no fault in him. He said, you take him and crucify him, I find no fault in him. His foes said, he passed the examination. I declare the proof of the gospel. And then there was one that was finished, drawing his last breath of life. He had nails in his hands just like our Lord. He had a crown on his head and thorns and wounds and bruises and putrefying sores just like our Lord. He had a rugged Roman cruel cross just like our Lord. And there was one that railed against him, but there's one who said, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. I'm getting what I deserve. But he said, I've been watching this fellow in the middle, and he's not like you and me. Oh, he hadn't done anything wrong. Oh, we received the reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And that man that was just about finished, I said, I have watched him, I've looked on him, I declare the proof of the gospel. He passed the examination. Oh, I want to tell you, he don't mean much to this whole world, but he means the world to me. I declare the proof of it. I know who Jesus Jesus is, yeah, and what he does. Yeah. Oh, praise, yeah, God, and I'm satisfied with Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. I told you there's four things, which means I'm beginning to close. Last night when we was at the church house, before the service, they have a projector screen behind there, and they're putting announcements up on it, you know, church announcements and things. You're going to have a chicken dinner such and such date, and, you know, the ladies' auxiliary is receiving an offering to send to so-and-so, that kind of stuff, you know, up on there. And then they finally got down to where they were no longer putting the announcements up on there, and they flashed up on the screen and said, church is about to start. And they had a stopwatch, clock counting down, like 4 minutes, and they had a second thing on it, just kept winding down and winding down, getting closer to time. I told Brother John, I said, I'd be okay, I guess, with you putting one of them up there before we start, but don't you put one of them things up there when I'm trying to get done. Amen. We'll be finishing just this time. The clocks are wearing out. I get wore out enough trying to finish out how to finish when the clock's not winding down. It's just winding up. But I am beginning to finish today. He said those four things. What I have heard. What we have seen. What we have looked upon. And then he said what I have handled. Our hands have handled. I've put my hands on it. I declare the product of the gospel. Amen. Yes. I put my hands on it. Now, we're living in the day of www.com. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amazon. Smile.amazon ain't the same thing. I don't know if you know that or not. It's supposed to be the same thing, but it's not. I caught him this past week charging me a different price on smile.amazon than they charge me on the regular Amazon. Now, on the smile Amazon, they'll give a donation to the charity that you've chosen, but the suckers is charging me extra to do it. It's not the same thing. You know what we got in our world? You go to amazon.com, you can buy one of these here 5-string guitars, banjos. You can. You see pictures of it. They'll even let you zoom in real close and see pictures of it. They'll allow you to maybe even see a video of somebody else holding it in their hands. You know what you can't do? You can't touch it until you already paid for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't know what it sounds like. You don't know what it sounds like because you hadn't put your hands on it. You don't know what it feels like, how heavy or light that it is, because you hadn't handled it. You don't know how it rests upon your shoulder there where you're about to play, because you hadn't played it, you hadn't held it. But you know what the Lord said? He said, I won't make you just read about me in a book, or hear about me from a preacher, or look at it on a web page, or order it some through the mail. But I'm going to send my son down there, put him in amongst you, and said, I'll let you put your eyes on him, let you put your ears on him, let you examine him. I'll even let you put your hands on him, hold him, put him near to you. Oh, praise God. And that which our hands have handled, praise God, I've got the product in my hand. I know what I'm getting. Are you listening to me? I got an idea what I'm in for because I held it in my hand. John the Baptist said, and John the Beloved said, we've held him with our hands. And John was the one always leaning on Jesus' breast. He heard his heartbeat. He knew the rhythm that there was in the Lord's heart. He knew what his heart sounded like. Amen. Hey, thank God. You say, but preacher, I wasn't around back then. Yeah. I didn't see all that. I didn't either. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, before I ever I touched him, he touched me. Yeah. I know what it is to have his touch. Yeah. I know what it is to come in contact with him. Yeah. He sent his spirit to touch me. Yeah. So that I might get a feel, yeah, for what he does and who he is. Yeah. That which I have handled. Yeah. And there's proof. There's, yeah, a product in the gospel. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God, He saved my one. I saved my sin sick soul one glorious morning. Praise God, hallelujah. What I've handled, that which was from the beginning, the manifested word of God, I declare it is eternal. It's always been. In the beginning was the word. Word was God, and the word was with God. And it always will be. Matthew 24 and 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. That which I've handled, I declare the product of the gospel. It's eternal. It's external. He said in the latter part of verse number 1, He said, which your hands have handled the word of life. Verse number 2, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. When it was manifested unto us, that is, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. First or Second Timothy, is it? No, First Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. It is eternal and it is external. Jesus was not a haint or a ghost, amen, or a goblin or a spirit. He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Hallelujah. And He became us. That is, He lived in the same kind of house we live in. Hallelujah. Subjected Himself to hunger and to thirst. Subjected Himself to heartache, burdens, bothers, and worries. Knew everything that we face. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Eternal, external. The product of the gospel is exhibited. The body of Christ I'm talking about now was exhibited. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which I've also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and thus when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He has showed us His body. He exhibits it in the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
This product of the gospel is expounded. That is, the word of God is seen through the body of the Lord Jesus. Jesus came preaching the word of God. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, said John 3:34. Jesus was a preacher. John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear him not, because ye are not of God. John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Word, that manifestation is expounded. Matter of fact, I'll tell you how real that is to John. He says in his book that the one that denies that Jesus has come in the flesh has a devil and is the spirit of Antichrist. Is anybody listening to the preacher? That crowd that thinks Jesus is just some sort of spook. Not a real man. You know, they deny the humanity of Christ. They have the spirit of Antichrist. And then he says that crowd that says that Jesus is not the Son of God, he said that they have the spirit of Antichrist. And they don't believe. And that they haven't received the gospel. And they're lost. If you deny that He's God, you're lost. If you deny that He's man, you got a devil. He was all God and all man. Embodied before us. The product of the gospel. And now, the proof of the gospel. And now, we have, in this day, a man before God. And there is but one God and one mediator between man and God. And that is the man, Christ Jesus. You know why you can get a hold of God? Because there's a man in the presence of God. And he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. And he stands in the presence of God as the perfect man. My friend, hey, God's perfect man became man's perfect God. And now he stands before the Father as a man representing us in perfection. And when the Father sees us, he looks at his Son and he sees us through the lens of his Son, and Jesus Christ. And when I pray to God through Christ, he listens to his Son. And when I pray in his name and his will, I can have confidence that I have the petition that I desire of him. Praise God. I'm about to wade off in some deep waters if I ain't careful. And I got to finish. That clock's winding down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of y'all, ain't no way I'd put a projector up here. Ain't no telling what'd be behind me while I was preaching. Amen. I wouldn't trust some of you as far as I could throw you my left arm. Amen. No telling what you'd do. Amen. Sinner, 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 sinner. The product of the gospel. Expounded. You know what I'm trying to do this morning? I'm trying to expound on the product of the gospel. Trying to tell you who Jesus is. I have a declaration, a message, a testimony, a word to share from God. Expounded. And then not only that is expounded, but it's empowered. Matthew 8:5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, they came to a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The Lord spoke the word, and he was healed that self same hour. You see, the centurion realized Jesus is as good as his word, and his word is as good as he is. There's power in the word of God. It is empowered with the spirit and glory and majesty of God. And then the product of the gospel is also evidenced unto us. Now, I wasn't there when he healed the centurion. I wasn't there whenever he fed the 5,000. Wasn't there whenever he called Lazarus up out of the grave. I didn't see it with my eyes, hear it with my ears, handle it, look upon it like John did. But I've been reading in 1 Peter. Just finished 1 Peter up, and now we're starting in 2 Peter, chapter 1. And this is what the other apostle that walked everywhere John walked had to say about this thing. He said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made out known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. And he said, this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the Holy Mount, that is the Mountain of Transfiguration. We were there to see it and to hear it. But this is the next verse of what he said. But we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. He said, you got something that is better than being on the Mountain of Transfiguration. You got something that is better than seeing him feed the 5,000 or calm the sea or call Lazarus out of the dead. If you got a Bible, you've got a more sure word of prophecy. And in case you don't think that's what he's talking about, verse and a half down, after the scripture came not by the will of man, he says, but holy men of old wrote or spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that is, this scripture, this word of God is more certain than standing on the Judean hillside listening to the voice of Jesus himself. This word of God is more certain than my friend walking through Bethlehem and seeing the manger, walking through Jerusalem and seeing the Calvary, walking through the garden and seeing the tomb. You're better off just to have this book. It's more sure. It's settled in heaven. It's right. It's real. You can believe in it. You can count on it. Praise God. In times like these, we need a Savior. We need an anchor. I'm very sure my anchor holds and grips a solid rock. Hallelujah. Brother John Michael, you don't have to just click, 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 click on www.com. But hold your hands out right there. You can hold it in your hand. The Word of God. Hallelujah. And that's as much the Word as Jesus is. And Jesus is as much the Word as this is. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we will travel together, my old Bible and I. Whoa. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got to finish preaching. I got to quit. That's what I got to do. I ain't finishing. But I got to quit. This was supposed to be point number one out of about seven. And it's like a leg of lamb. The more I chewed on it, the bigger it grew. Amen. But this is my new Bible. It ain't brand new no more. It's 3 years old. It ain't wore out enough. I need to be wearing it out quicker than what I am. Used the other one for 30 years. Retired it right here. I hadn't preached out of it anymore since then. I still study out of it some. Go back to it and try to find stuff. You know, I can't see. This one's exactly the same as the other one. The other one's got faded pages. I know what it says, and I can't see this one. It's too good, in too good a shape. So I go back to the old worn out, faded out one and read it sometimes. Brother Nick, Sister Brittany, bought this Bible for me. Give it to me. And one from a dollar store would have had all the same words in it, but it wouldn't have been just the same as what I wanted. And they didn't go get me a dime store Bible with a zipper on it. They gave me a $100 bill and said, go get the one you want. And $100 is not easy for them to come by anytime. This is when they first got married. I know it wasn't easy for them to come by. And I don't open it up often that I don't see a good note in there. And I thank the Lord for it. Got a Bible. Amen. As a teenage boy, the Lord called me to preach. I'd lay on the floor at night, begin reading that old book. Mom would say, going to bed. I said, I'm going to bed just a couple of minutes. I won't be up long. I'm beginning to close. Anybody listening? Mom would say, going to bed now. It's late. Host of occasions, she'd come in there to wake me up for school in the morning. And I'd still be on the floor with the light on, not realizing the night had vanished. But this book had been my friend. Praise God. We will travel together, my old Bible and I. What's real? This morning, if you've never been saved, I want to tell you about Jesus that'll change your life. And He has the power to change your circumstance. I want you to know that I've seen the evidence. I've tested Him and tried Him and found Him to be true. I know what He says is right. I've tried it in my life. And He's never failed me. Matter of fact, He's never failed one of His children. And He won't start with you. This morning, if you've never been saved, I want to invite you to come. If you're wobbling on the axle, tossed about with the winds of this world, things in your life are unsettled and uncertain. You need an anchor. You need to be very sure. This morning you need to come and get some help from the Lord. I declare a message. Thank God I have one. Everybody stand, please. I have, even for me, preached a little longer than I intended to, but I don't feel a minute's bad about it. The Lord's helped us this morning. I still didn't preach my full 14 minutes if I'm using Joe Arthur's scale. Some of you this morning need to come, get in this altar, and thank the Lord that you've got a word from God. Some of you need to quit refusing the word and just come believe God.
Yes.
Receive Him into your life. Let Him be your Savior.
Yes.
Whatever your need is, saint or sinner like, if you need to pray, would you come? Sing for us when you need to, brother.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble
be obedient to
while
the Lord.
While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help mine unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face.
What I can do, 'cause I can't.
Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry.
While on others thou art calling.
While on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by.
If you've been obedient to the Lord, done everything the Holy Ghost would have you to do in the meeting,